Well, well. The Penguins have lost 7 in a row. Count them, 7. Unlucky 7. 7 defeats in a row for the Pittsburgh Hockey Club. Yikes. I believe the Penguins will dig their way out and make the playoffs. I'm just not sure how. The roster is just about frozen. There's no big deals to be made. You got who you got. Some want to trade Dumoulin because he's struggling, maybe even washed up after all his surgeries and injuries, but who's going to take him? You can't bring up Ty Smith to bolster your defense because the cap's too tight. And the cap's too tight because you signed Kapanen. 3.2 mil cap hit. Why on earth did Ron Hextall do that? The core three is set in stone. So any move you make is nickel dime. Switching the lines, tinkering with the defense pairs, that's like slapping a butterfly stitch on a shotgun wound. And the Penguins won't so much as tweak their style. We know that. So you just got to hope the Penguins play better. Right now, there's little sign of that, although they were okay against Seattle on Saturday at home. But they still lost to Seattle, the expansion team. But when you kept the core three intact, this is what you signed up for. It's what they signed up for better or for worse. You got POJ getting more minutes, and deservedly so, but like I said, that's just piddly crap. Brandon Tanev gets the winner for Seattle, the ex-Penguin. Kind of a cherry on top. And now it's at Washington, Toronto, and Montreal. The Penguins could be buried by Thanksgiving. But at least Liverpool FC won. And the New York Jets. The Jets beat Buffalo. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I've adopted the Jets. This is the Mark Madden Show. I am the game because I'm just that damn good. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter at Mark Madden X. Like I said, the Jets beat Buffalo, and after the game, Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, he was flapping his elbow around like Ben did when his elbow exploded in 2019. No word on any injury yet with Josh Allen, but there wasn't right away with Ben either. Of course, it could have been like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack when he was flapping his elbow around after the ball ricocheted and hit him. Oh, good Lord, what's this buffoon done now? Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm not sure what to say about the Penguins past what I've said. Dumoulin is really in a bad patch. He looks lost and clumsy out there. Who knows? Maybe he's washed up. I hope not. Kapanen sucks. I might use Poole and higher up the depth chart if injury dictates. I'll talk about that next segment. Poole lost a big draw and fanned on a block shot on a Seattle goal Saturday. Sid was great on Seattle, but the Penguins only scored twice. The Penguins are a mess. I'm not putting Sullivan on the hot seat. We're a long way from that anyway. He signed through 2027, and the Penguins aren't going to eat that contract. But I wish Sullivan would tweak. Now, this is when I open up the notion of what the Penguins need to do to you, the great unwatched. So tell me what you do. 412-333-WXDX. Houston won the World Series. They didn't cheat this time, or so we're told. NFL action yesterday. Green Bay lost to Detroit. Aaron Rodgers is 100% in the tank. Aaron Rodgers will be remembered as one of the most overrated quarterbacks ever, or should be. He's all regular season like Mike Tomlin. And now Rodgers isn't even good in the regular season. Brady stayed around a long time, so they all thought they could stay around a long time. It ain't working out for all of them. Not Ben, not Rivers, and now not Aaron Rodgers. Minnesota beat Washington and is now 7-1. The Vikings are my adopted NFC team. I'm rooting for a Jets-Vikings Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins taking his freshly minted MVP award to the big game. MVP. MVP. And the Steelers were off. Mercifully so. Of course, for the game this coming Sunday at home against New Orleans, T.J. Watt is back. That'll make all the difference in the world. And I bet the Steelers do beat New Orleans because the Saints ain't too good and the Steelers are at home and you can't lose them all. And if you can't win this one, then what the frick? But I would get used to the idea of mostly losing if I were a Steelers fan and keep making Matt Canada the great Satan, the primary scapegoat, if that makes you feel better. But Mike Tomlin is the main problem, and very few want to say that. Everything bad about the Steelers can be traced back to Tomlin, and I dare you to tell me I'm wrong. The drafting, the hiring, the outdated approach, that's all Mike Tomlin. 3 playoff wins in 12 years it's going to be. No playoff wins in 6 years it's going to be. Yet, everyone says Mike Tomlin is a great coach. Why? Well, just because. Tomlin's a great coach. Tell me why. Well, just because. Tomlin's not been a great coach for a long time. He's a fraud. 4th in the North. In other NFL head coaching hijinks, Frank Reich was fired as head coach in Indianapolis. The Steelers should hire him as the offensive coordinator next year and give him total autonomy over the offense. He is an offensive and quarterback's guru. But Mike Tomlin doesn't want somebody who knows more than he does, so that's just a pipe dream. The Colts hired Jeff Saturday as interim head coach. He's their former center. He's an analyst on ESPN. He has 0 coaching experience beyond being head coach at a Christian academy. It might be the worst hire in recent NFL coaching memory. They fired Frank Reich, who's an excellent coach, and brought in a cheerleader. And if anybody should feel worse about this hire than Indianapolis Colts fans, it is qualified minority coaching candidates. Because, to repeat, what the frig? But, like I said, Liverpool won. Fenway Sports Group, the Penguins owners, they might sell Liverpool. That was broken today out of nowhere. Anyway, let's talk about the Penguins. I got a few minor ideas, a few tweaks that might help, and we're going to talk to the old 2-9er, Phil Bourque, at 4:30 about that. We got Matt Williamson, our football guru, to talk Steelers at 3:30. That's the bottom of this hour. I put my sandwich ratings into play today. Remember last, I think it was Thursday, was National Sandwich Day. Today I had my number 2 favorite sandwich, Beef on Weck, at the only place in Pittsburgh that does it right, Poor Richard's out in Wexford. And it was delightful. So I got to go up the charts sometime this week and have a Reuben. And I had a fish sandwich last night at Permane's in Harmerville after I finished my deck and roller hockey tournament. Thanks to everyone participating and helping with that. T.J. Watt back on Sunday. It'll help. He's arguably the best defensive player in football. In fact, was officially crowned that for last season anyway, but he's just hurt too much. I got a promotion coming up regarding T.J. Watt jerseys. I will talk about that. It's one of my viewing parties. In fact, let's just announce it now. At the Fools, it's this place in Rochester Road. That's in the North Hills, Ross Township, Westview. I'm not sure which. The Fools Tavern on Rochester Road. I'm going to be there Sunday for the Steelers and Saints. And anyone who wears a T.J. Watt jersey to the Fools gets a Steelers cap. And I'll take 2 dozen, 3 dozen, doesn't matter how many people show up with their T.J. Watt jerseys. If you come, you will get a Steelers hat. men, women, children, pets, you wear a Watt jersey, you get a Steelers hat. Of course, maybe you won't show up like TJ Watt no-showed his exit meeting and then lied about it a couple years ago, but all I can do is my part. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. I'm on the road all over the place to make personal appearances. We got a viewing party for USA England World Cup Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving at the Rivers Casino, the sports book down there. That will be double live gonzo. That will be intensity. So don't miss that one. Don't miss anything I do. I am now more popular than ever. Why? Because you love me. That's why. Matt Williamson at the bottom of the hour at 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, big fan.
Well, no, I just said, I don't know what I said. I don't know what you said.
Double M.
Yeah?
The X at 105.9.
Jeff Saturday's record with that Christian Academy team, that's his only coaching experience, was 3-7. And now he's the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. That's one of the most insane hires I've ever heard of. Pat McAfee's going to be put to the test with that because he's a Colts guy, he's a Jeff Saturday guy. But if you say that hiring's anything but a joke, especially him replacing Frank Reich, you're really ditching your credibility. Tomlin should bring in Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator. Bring him in now to be the OC in waiting and tie him up and have Mike Sullivan be the OC the rest of the year. But Frank Reich knows more about football than Mike Tomlin does, so they would never do that. In fact, I think at this point, a lot of people know more about football than Mike Tomlin does. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. We want to talk Penguins today. I wrote a trib column today. Here's a couple suggestions I made as how the Penguins can not fix things, but maybe make things a bit better. Their roster's pretty much frozen. They can't make a big deal. They can't even call Ty Smith up because of the cap. So really, it's about playing better. It'd be nice if the goalies stole games, but I wouldn't say the goalies have lost games to this point either. And one thing I laugh at is when people blame the bottom six by way of lacking scoring depth. Okay, that's like, you know, blaming Matt Canada. You don't want to blame somebody you like, so you blame somebody that's either obscure or that you don't like. Brock McGinn's not going to save the season, and Josh Archibald, he's a fourth liner. He just had goals in consecutive games. For him, that's Mike Bossy territory. So here's a couple things I would do. I touched on this briefly last week. I would move Crosby from down low on the power play to the right half wall. The Penguins don't have an automatic and comfortable reset point like Phil Kessel was on the left half wall or Gaunch was up top back when. Malkin's a shooter at the right half wall, and everybody likes that one-timer, but he can shoot from somewhere else. Crosby at the right half wall would organize the power play, and that's what that power play lacks. It's 20th in the league. It's converted 20%. That's no better than okay. And given the talent on hand, it's not good enough. And then when injury creates a spot in the top six, like the next time Zucker gets hurt or whoever, he's played excellent when he's healthy, though. And he's only missed a couple games, but still, you flinch every time he takes a tumble or absorbs a hit. But I would give Samuel Poulin a shot in the top six. The Penguins took Poulin in the first round of the 2019 draft because he scored a lot in junior hockey. Ever since then, they've tried to turn him into a checker without even seeing if he could score at the NHL level. He's 21. You can't just take a score and make him a checker inside of 3 years. You can't give up on his scoring that quickly. Unless he was the wrong pick to begin with, which... it was a different administration now with Rutherford, but it reminds me of when the Penguins drafted Alexei Morozov in the first round, and they made him into a bottom six player. And guess what happened? He started to play like a bottom six player. Next thing you know, he's back in the KHL in Russia, leading that league in scoring, winning MVPs. And I know it's only the KHL, but he deserved a better chance to do here what he did to get himself drafted in the first round. Or my plan B is the Penguins continue losing and tank for Connor Bedard. He's the next big thing. It has worked before here in Pittsburgh. 412-333-WXDX. We'll talk to our football guru, Matt Canada, up next here on 105.9. Double M at the X. Jeff Saturday becomes the first head coach in NFL history to be hired with zero pro or college coaching experience. That is absolutely incredible. Joining me now, the former pro and college scout. He is our football guru, Matt Williamson. Matt, did the Colts call you? Were you part of their interview process? Because I think you're more qualified than Jeff Saturday.
It's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. I mean, it would be like the Steelers saying, we're going to let Coach Tomlin go and hire Dermoni Dawson to be the head coach. And you're like, what on earth is the logic behind that? The Colts are clearly tanking. I mean, they'll never admit it. They're trying to lose games. They are a disaster. That was like the worst offensive performance yesterday I've ever seen on a football field.
And Frank Reich's a pretty good coach. I mean, they weren't doing well, but I wouldn't mind if the Steelers hired him to be the offensive coordinator.
Oh, he'll get hired quickly to be a coordinator at a minimum. They've actually won three games and tied another. I mean, they're not even out of it in that crappy division, but they're really, really hard to watch right now, and their offense is broke.
Now, speaking of changes, do you expect any changes with the Steelers coming out of the bye week in terms of lineup or philosophy?
I just don't know where. I mean, I think the one to talk about is Najee versus Warren. I just don't see it happening. Maybe Najee has a shorter leash in terms of being the top dog. But other than that, I mean, obviously they're going to do something different at slot receiver with Claypool no longer in the mix. I assume that'll be a lot more Sims. But I don't know where else you make the changes. I mean, I guess William Jackson is probably a starting corner. We'll find that out during practice here coming up. I know that they're down on Witherspoon, which I totally understand. You know, T.J. Watt gets into the equation. KZ gets involved. So I guess the more I talk through it, I just said five or six different possibilities.
Yeah, but they're all, I don't want to say minor. I mean, getting T.J. Watt back isn't minor. I'm not sure how much gets fixed. But let's stay with William Jackson III. What's his role going to be, and how quick can they slot him into it? Because he is a pure cover guy. I think he's worth taking a flyer on for half a season.
Yeah, if not longer. I mean, I think that they'll keep him around for another year, assuming he isn't a disaster. Because here's the deal with William Jackson. They loved him coming out of school. They thought they had a really good chance to draft him. Bengals grab him right before he's picked. They end up settling for Artie Burns. We know how that goes. And Coach Austin coached him with the Bengals. CO's played against him twice a year. Really liked him then. Apparently tried to sign him when he hit the free agent market, but Washington, as they always do, overspent on free agents. Of course, he takes the money. They turn a man corner into a zone corner. Predictably, it doesn't work out well, and now he's back in a spot where they'll actually use him correctly, but he's 30 years old. So it's a great risk.
Witherspoon's been really bad, hasn't he? I mean, I think he precipitated bringing in Jackson, don't you?
Yeah, and I think Wallace has also been a little bit disappointing, considering, you know, you thought those two would be your starting outside corners. I mean, frankly, I'm hoping that they re-sign Sutton, draft a corner with one of their top three picks, and Jackson works out as kind of like a mentor, and maybe or maybe not bring back Wallace. Both those guys you can get out of their contract easily. But, yeah, Spoon to me is disappointing, yes. But he really gets exposed when he has to go up against number one receivers. You know, like Amari Cooper ate him up. A.J. Brown ate him up. You know, when he's against an average dude, he's fine. When he's against a top guy, it's trouble.
What Steelers have been the most disappointing in the first eight games? Give me one or two names, Matt.
I think Tyson Alualu is done and maybe should be even a cut as the season goes on type of guy, like can't see the field anymore. The corners, I think, are certainly in the conversation. The rest of the defense, I can't really single anybody out off the top of my head. I was hoping for a little more from Dotson. He's just too inconsistent. Harvin, the punter, has been too inconsistent. I don't. Najee is number one.
Yeah, I mean, let's stick with Najee for a second. I'm shocked. I don't want to say how bad he is. That's too much of a point. By how clueless he is. I mean, he looks like he forgot how to run the ball.
There's something going on in his head. You know, like, I do a show every week with Mike Pursuta and Merrill Hodge, and Merrill thinks that he's just lost confidence in his blocking. You know, as a former running back, I take what Merrill has to say very seriously, and I could see that. That's fine. But, like, the last time we saw him, they throw a little swing pass to him, and he's dancing and waiting for people to catch him. All he has to do is put his head down to get the first down and doesn't. And then the next play, he tries to jump over somebody. Like, what are we doing here? You know, like, you're a 245-pound man, and he's running like he's a 190-pound scat back. Like, that makes no sense to me at all. And I don't get it. And one thing about Harris, and by no means am I saying he's a bad player or, aha, I told you so, I do think his rookie year was a little bit overrated in that he's not very explosive. You know, he's a grinder, and he has to be used in a certain way as a volume guy to really make his money. And as a receiver, I don't think they use him well enough as a receiver. And by that, I don't mean dumping it down to him like Ben did 1,000 times. I mean, like Lev Bell is a true route runner, because he can do that, and they just don't ever seem to do it with him, which I don't understand. And his play hasn't warranted giving him the Derrick Henry volume of carries that it deserves, and he just doesn't have any big play ability.
Would you play Warren ahead of him at this point?
That's a really tough call, because Warren is clearly better per touch, but it's a lot easier to be Batman than Robin, and Warren comes in and takes a draw on 3rd and 8 for 7 yards and everyone gets excited. You know, like, it's a little more difficult when they game plan for you to be the guy. I mean, I would have Harris on a short leash, though. I mean, I do think injuries and things have been an issue. Before the Eagles game, I thought he was turning the corner a little bit. Now he has a break. I would give him a game or two as the man. And if it looks like it did the rest of the season, you have to bench him.
I'm talking to Matt Williamson. He's brought to us by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is Pittsburgh's hometown sportsbook. Bet now from anywhere. On the other side of the coin, what Steelers were the most surprising in the first 8 games, in a good way?
I think Freiermuth's on the path to being a star, to being a top 3 to 5 tight end in this league. And tight ends do not adapt quickly in the NFL, and he is way ahead of the curve. Pickens, but that's not surprising if you watch training camp.
Yeah, I like Pickens, Matt, but I don't feel like he's been given the chance to do enough.
Right. I mean, I think there's more production to be had, but I have no concerns about him becoming a star in this league. I'll say the right side of the offensive line. I mean, James Daniels, watching him in camp in preseason, I thought, oh my, I was wrong about wanting to sign this guy. He's a good right guard. I mean, he's a 10th best starting right guard in the league, and you'll take that all day long. I think Chooks is a quality right tackle. Who else? I mean, that's almost as hard a question as who's disappointing, because nobody's standing out as much as they should.
Well, what about Devin Bush? What about Devin Bush? Like, I've heard people say he's doing better than expected, but I don't think he's doing very well.
I think he's fine. You know, they're going to have a decision to make when he's a free agent after the year. And if he wants, you know, legit money, no, we'll find somebody else. He's never going to end up being a first-round caliber linebacker, let alone the 10th pick in the draft. But he's a lot better than he was last year. I mean, last year he was often the worst player on the field. Now he's merely not a liability.
Now, you mentioned Freiermuth. With Chase Claypool gone to Chicago, who does what with the receiving corps? It seems like Freiermuth had become the primary big target, which kind of elbowed Claypool out.
I do think, and I don't know this for a fact, I just think that there were one too many mouths to feed. I think they want Pickens, Johnson, and Freiermuth, all their target share to increase. And I think all three deserve it, including Johnson, who I know people think are in the doghouse. I don't see him that way. I think whoever that next guy is, presumably Sims, will get a much smaller target share than Claypool did. And you're right. I mean, Claypool, the way he was used isn't much different than a move tight end, a Jason Kelce type.
That begs the question, why can't there be more than one big target?
There can. I just think that the price was too good for Claypool. I mean, if you're getting an early second-round pick for him that's a very replaceable commodity, you have to say yes. If it had been a third, I'd have kept him. You know? So I just think that they offered – that Chicago overpaid for him.
No, I'm not outraged. I just think the more big targets, the better. But I agree. I think of the two, Freiermuth is the preferred. Now, T.J. Watt's going to be back. That's what we're told. I'm sure he'll be great. But how much tangible difference can he make the rest of this year? And I hate to be cynical, but how long till he gets hurt again?
I can't answer the second question, but clearly it's a concern in his career. I mean, durability is the only negative you can say about the guy. I think there'll be a very tangible difference. I know this sounds crazy, but I think they're going to be a top 10 type of defense if they're healthy. You know, that Highsmith to me is a really good number two. I think, you know, KZ coming back is a big, big addition as well, just because of the flexibility it gives them on the back end. Throw Jackson in there, who we already talked about. But the straw that serves the drink, of course, is Watt, and that he beats double teams. He's great against the run. Everyone has to game plan differently. I mean, Tuesday and Wednesday for the opponent are a lot different now that Watt's in the game.
If Watt hadn't been hurt all year and plays up to his usual standard, what's their record?
I'd give them two more wins.
I think they'd be 4-4, huh?
Different feel. Yeah, I mean, they get blown out by the Eagles. They get blown out by the Bills every time. I mean, forget about those two. The other games, to me, were close to toss-ups, at least the Jets, the Dolphins, New England. And I'll give them a win or two. Maybe, yeah, I'll give them two with Watt. I don't think that's crazy. He's that good a player.
I feel comfortable at 3-5. Because while this goes beyond factoring Watt in, I can't forget that they won the Cincinnati game because their long snapper got hurt.
No doubt. I mean, they've had more bad breaks than good breaks, but that Bengals game, they got a good break or two. There's no doubt about that. I will say, and I wrote a pretty extensive article about it, though, just so people know, and I'm not making any excuses for this team. They're not very good. But clearly, far and away of the 32 teams, they've played the hardest schedule in the league so far.
Now, Casey's back too, the safety. Where's he fit in? Because that secondary needs more help than just William Jackson, I think.
Yeah, I talked about this a lot leading up to the season, that the KZ signing was one of my favorites for a lot of reasons, in that all this, you know, we see Spillane out there all the time in dime, which makes me insane. And I think you'll just play big nickel in that situation with three safeties. You know, I mean, I think you'll see a lot less Spillane out there. I think you'll see even less of Bush, because I think you're going to see three safeties on the field a great deal, KZ, Edmonds, and Minka. And then the other beauty that KZ brings is there's a shortage right now in the league of true deep middle center fielder safeties. And frankly, Minka is the best in the business at that, the Ed Reed, Earl Thomas types. But Minka can do so many other things. And where I'm going with this is KZ is a very accomplished, true free safety. You know, he can play the deep middle. So I always use this example. If you play the Ravens coming up here, their receivers aren't very good, but they have a great tight end in Andrews. Well, Minka, you're going to play man coverage on Andrews the whole time. KZ, you be the free safety. You know, I mean, it's just one example, but you can use Minka in such a different way now.
How would you rate Pickett's play so far? It's the cliched portion of this segment, Matt. How would you rate his play so far? And what's he have to do the rest of the season? What can make this a good first year for him? Because I don't think he's having a good first year so far.
I love the comfortability. I think that he still is not seeing the field great in terms of, if you watch the All-22, and I know everyone wants to blame Matt Canada, and hey, I'm not a Matt Canada fan. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of open receivers that the ball doesn't come out to if you watch the All-22, and that's not unusual for rookies. But I do think he belongs. I think he will be a starting quarterback in this league.
But there's three things I think that, in addition to, you know, seeing the field better, that need to get better. And these aren't uncommon for rookies that get thrown into things, so I'm not overly concerned. But there's too many turnovers. Although I do think his turnover numbers are a little inflated, coming from behind, there's been two or three of those interceptions that I would not say are his fault. Red zone has been a real problem. You know, I mean, I think the red zone stuff has been overwhelming to him. Again, Trevor Lawrence is going through the exact same thing. I mean, like, this is not uncommon for young quarterbacks. And then something that people don't think about a lot is the hardest throws for quarterbacks, besides red zone, just normal down distance stuff, is between 10 and 20 yards, that middle of the field area. You can hit the quick slants, you can throw bombs, but, you know, there's a lot of bodies in there, and there's a lot of angry bodies in there. His area from 10 to 20, to me, needs a lot of work. And again, these are very common rookie problems.
It's being said now that he's not seeing open targets down the field, which ties in a bit to what you just said. Do you agree with that? Is that what you see?
I do. There's five-ish, you know, plays a game where he needs to let the ball go. And I can't speak for him if he sees it or not and does and turns it down. I would say that's one of the stats I wish there was a real number for. Is it's something that makes the coaches the craziest, is a throw that should be made that isn't. Either you don't see it or you choose not to. There's too many of those right now because, frankly, the receiving core, including Claypool, has done a really good job of getting open this year, even without the help of good route design.
What should the Steelers' priorities be for the rest of the year? Because winning or losing really doesn't matter anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I never think tanking's a good idea. I never think it's, you know, it's a good message to say that it's okay to lose.
Well, no, but putting developmental first can be the right thing,
yes.
Correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially with the youth of the offense, the youth of the quarterback. It all has to be about Pickett. You know, whatever helps his development the most. I think there's probably 5 to 10 prominent Steelers that are auditioning for their Steeler career the rest of the way. Dan Moore, for example. You know, like, is he good enough? He's never going to be Anthony Munoz. Is he good enough? Or does one of their first picks need to be a left tackle? You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of those guys. Are they part of the problem or are they part of the solution? You know, maybe Mason Cole's one of those. You know, certainly Bush is in that equation. There's a lot of them. I think that's a big thing. It's just, frankly, evaluating your own talent and figuring out your offseason needs. And they'll never admit this, but I can't imagine a world that they bring Matt Canada back. You know, so figuring out who's going to take over the offense and what style of offense best fits Kenny going forward is imperative to me.
Let me throw a hand grenade out there because it's you know, one of those Twitter things that gathers momentum, but it's a rarity because it actually makes sense too, Matt. What about giving Frank Reich the equivalent of a head coaching salary to come and be the offensive coordinator?
I'd be fine with it. I don't know enough about him X's and O's wise. I like him as an offensive mind. I don't say I adore him as an offensive mind.
Yeah, but he's clearly a quarterback's guy.
Yes, you know, he was a quarterback. He's Jim Kelly's backup. He hasn't exactly been the best quarterback evaluator in Indy, though, since Luck left. I mean, Rivers to Wentz to Ryan has been disastrous. But I don't hate the idea, and frankly, I like the concept. I'm not sure if Reich would be my first choice, but I would love to see somebody in that vein that is well-respected around the league, as Reich is, and he might be just fine. Give him a good buck and say, the offense is yours.
Matt, great stuff as always. Good finish. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Take care. We'll see you.
That's Matt Williamson brought to us by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet now from anywhere. Should the Steelers bring in Frank Reich as a super coordinator? We'll talk about that just around the corner here on 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
None of what you're saying is reasonable. It's laughable. Ah! You're already dumb. Let's see if you can go to dumber.
The X at 105.9.
I want to talk a lot about the Penguins' 7-game losing streak today, and I have and we will. Phil Bork joins me at 4:30. But there's so much other stuff breaking, especially this hire by the Indianapolis Colts of Jeff Saturday as their new head coach, interim head coach, replacing Frank Reich, who got fired. Jeff Saturday has zero coaching experience at the pro or college levels. He coached a Catholic school academy team to a 3-7 record. He's the first head coach in NFL history to take the job with zero pro or college coaching experience of any kind. He is a cheerleader, a Colts legend, but wholly unqualified. Indianapolis now has a staff that includes no one who has ever called plays before, and they got a game coming up Sunday. That's the head coach's first decision, who calls the plays. Hey, do it yourself, Jeff. Just make it a total joke. I guess Pat McAfee wasn't available to take the job. Now, there's a real Indianapolis Colts legend. It begs the notion that the Steelers should hire Frank Reich or somebody like him as kind of a super coordinator, like a McDaniels-level guy. You know, you pay him head coaching Monday and he gets autonomy over the offense, but I think Tomlin's ego is too big to ever allow that. But that's what I think the Steelers should be doing. If not Frank Reich, then somebody similar, maybe better, because Reich didn't do great as a play caller at Indianapolis through a number of quarterbacks since Andrew Luck retired. I like the B teams asking, what Steeler could do the same as Jeff Saturday, become a head coach with no experience? And the answer is none. And Jeff Saturday shouldn't. And this is going to put ESPN's credibility to the test, because they should absolutely 100% ridicule this Saturday hire. But he was just doing analysis for them and he's one of their boys, but you gotta be credible. Then again, maybe you don't, because ESPN very often is not. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. I'm just dumbfounded by that. It's something that's really worth discussing, even though it's not a Pittsburgh sports story. Also breaking, you know those goofy 2-on-2 golf events they have on, what is it, TBS, TNT? They call it The Match. And it usually involves like a quarterback or two, some kind of celebrity. This time it's just golfers, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy against Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. Anything Tiger's involved with is money, even though he's 100% washed up. But I hate these events, the matches, because they're really carny in my book. But what if it was PGA versus LIV Golf? Now that people would want to watch. 412-333-WXDX. We've been talking about the Steelers, the mistakes they've made, how the whole organization has been revealed to be weak from the ownership to the ball boy. And I want to talk in just a minute about a trade that you loved, and I bet you still love it, but they just should not have made. Because you do stuff to win, not to collect football cards or draft a fantasy league team. You do stuff to win. And the Steelers have long since lost track of that. It's the Mark Madden Show on 105.9.